thousands of residents of Lashkar Gah are in big trouble.
We will discuss the situation in Afghanistan with our correspondent. It's Friday, August 6th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, many Afghans are leaving their country, much to the dismay of where many are headed. More than 700 quarantined from one Arkansas school district due to COVID. Steve Ross will join us from the Tokyo Olympic Games, all on today's VOA Asia. The United Nations Security Council will hold an open meeting Friday on the deteriorating situation in Afghanistan, according to diplomats. The discussion was requested by the Afghan government as well as Norway and Estonia. The Security Council last met on Afghanistan in June, but the situation in the conflict-ridden country has rapidly worsened since then. The Taliban control large swaths of the countryside and are now challenging Afghan government forces in several large cities, including Herat near the western border with Iran and Kandahar in the south. Fighting has raged since May 8th when U.S. and other foreign forces began the first stage of a troop withdrawal due to be completed later this month. The Afghan military launched a counterattack in the southern city of Lashkar Gah, where insurgents have infiltrated several areas. VOA's Ayaz Ghul joined International Edition host Steve Miller from Islamabad with the latest.
Thousands of residents of Lashkar Gah are in big trouble, in fact have been in big trouble over the past many days. And over the last 2 days, they have been just sort of confined to their homes because most of the city now has fallen to the Taliban. There are a few government administrative buildings and the city airport, which is controlled by the Afghan government. But the rest is with the Taliban. And Tuesday evening, there were announcements by the Afghan military urging residents to leave the city because they were intending to launch a big operation against the Taliban. And that added more problems for the civilians because they have no way to escape the city. So, and ironically, provincial health officials urged the residents of Lashkar Gah to remain inside their homes because they warned them that if they come out, they may be caught in the crossfire. So these poor civilians in the city are really caught in big trouble. They don't know what to do. But the fighting, we know for sure that there were serious clashes going on inside the city. And in fact, Taliban tried to capture the police headquarters in Lashkar Gah. Intense clashes have also been going on in the northeastern Tahar province, which borders the Central Asian republics of Tajikistan and Turkmenistan. In that area, we are now hearing reports of serious fighting. So it seems that Taliban are really taking the fight to the urban centers in Afghanistan.
Ayaz Ghul talking with VOA's Steve Miller. As one might expect, many Afghans are fleeing their country. We'll explore that momentarily. VOA Asia continues. The rise of violence between the Taliban and the Afghan government forces has triggered a new influx of Afghan refugees to Turkey. VOA's Arif Aslan reports from Turkey's Van province in this story narrated by Namal Alja.
These people have arrived in Turkey's Van province after walking for over 20 hot summer days from Afghanistan and Iran. They are among thousands of Afghans who recently fled their country due to a surging armed confrontation between the Afghan government and the Taliban.
We spend the nights out in the mountains, and during the days we have to walk under the sun with no food and water. Blisters are all over our feet. It is cold at night, cold, and it is hot during the days.
Turkish officials in Van say they have registered over 34,000 refugees crossing from Iran, with Afghans making up the majority. Nearly 1,500 refugees and 11 smugglers have been detained for illegal crossing.
Refugees crossing the border are often sent back across the border when they are caught by Turkish guards. This is not a legal situation. This is illegal. Once people have crossed the border and entered into Turkey, the police or gendarmerie who caught them must register them into the system after completing the processes such as identifying those people and taking their fingerprints.
VOA has learned that smugglers often transfer the Afghans at night from dangerous routes across Pakistan's Balochistan province into Iran and then to Turkey. Children are most vulnerable in this journey toward the final destination, Europe.
We walk the whole night without knowing where we are going. We walk through the deserts and roads. The stray dogs were wandering around us. The kids got really scared. The dogs chased us and we were this much close to grabbing the kids. We went to a mosque and slept for 2 hours and then hit the road again. May God help us.
Nearly 3 million refugees and asylum seekers in the world are Afghans. The International Organization for Migration estimates that the number of Afghans crossing the border illegally has increased by 30 to 40% since May, when international forces began withdrawing from Afghanistan and the Taliban increased its attacks.
The Taliban raided our village. They burned down all our houses. They burned everything. They burned our farms and all our products, including our orchards and grain fields.
The new refugee influx comes as the U.S. is set to withdraw its troops from Afghanistan by August 31st. With the U.S. gone and the Taliban capturing more territory, it remains unclear if the militants will agree on a peaceful resolution to the conflict with the Afghan government. For Arif Aslan, reporting from Van, Turkey, this is Namu Abdullah, VOA News, Washington.
We're happy you are with us on VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. The number of students and staff at a school district in Arkansas who have quarantined because of a coronavirus outbreak grew to more than 700 on Wednesday as lawmakers in the state debated whether to allow schools to mandate masks. Meanwhile, the second wave of the coronavirus pandemic has put millions of people in India out of work, with women bearing the brunt of the losses. A trade union leader warned that it may take years to get back on track. Reuters' Eve Johnson reports.
A cluster of job seekers gather near a busy street in northern India. Among them, more than a dozen women, one of them cradling a sleeping child. They've been looking for work ever since a second vicious wave of coronavirus cases hit. Now they are stuck in Gurugram, a city of more than a million people, but little opportunity.
We have small children and we're just sitting here with them. We don't even have money to get back to our village. There are so many problems.
The global pandemic has wiped out employment for 15 million people in India, and women have been the hardest hit, according to trade and industry leaders. The vast majority of women here are in low-skill work, factory or farm or domestic jobs, the first to go when times get tough. Savitri Devi lost her job at a garment factory last year and has been looking for work ever since, with no luck.
There are a lot of challenges. Eating, drinking, everything is a challenge. There's practically nothing. I managed to cook one meal but can't provide for the second.
Besides the loss in household income, the unemployment crisis also threatens to undo a decade of social gains made by women in India. That's according to Amarjeet Kaur, a trade union leader.
We find lots of child labor once again entering into the market, girls losing, the education, child marriages happening, and women suffering domestic violence at home, and they are burdened with taking care of children, old, sick people in the family.
Kaur wants the government to help women get back to the workforce by offering incentives. She said it may take several years to return to the way things used to be, if it happens at all.
That was correspondent Eve Johnson. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. It was a good showing for Asia at the Olympics. Steve Ross is our reporter in Tokyo.
Today, Japanese wrestler Risako Kawai winning gold in the women's 57-kilogram freestyle, beating Irina Kurachkina of Belarus in the final bout. On Wednesday, Kawai's sister Yukako winning in the 62-kilogram division. China maintaining dominance in women's table tennis, beating Japan in the gold medal match 3-0. Table tennis Team China remains undefeated in both the men's and women's team events since the sport's Olympic debut at the 2008 Beijing Games. And in the men's 400-meter race, Stephen Gardner of the Bahamas grabbing the gold, finishing in 43.85 seconds, with Colombia's Jose Anthony Zambrano taking the silver and Granada's Kirani James earning the bronze. Today, Tokyo Olympics officials reporting 31 new Games-related COVID-19 cases, some of those individuals at first in the athletes' village, but later relocated to isolation facilities. The group includes athletes as well as contractors, officials, media members, and volunteers. Tokyo and Japan nationwide now experiencing an unprecedented surge in COVID-19 cases, with some policymakers advocating strict European-style lockdown measures to contain viral spread. American bicycle motocross rider Connor Fields released today from Tokyo's St. Luke's International Hospital 5 days after a crash in his Olympic semifinal race left him with brain bleeding and other injuries. Connor now expected to return to his home in Nevada. Tokyo Olympic beach volleyball is being supplied with recorded lively cheers, music, and crowd ambiance by a master of ceremonies and a DJ, all to recreate the party atmosphere considered normal for the sport's pre-pandemic era when audiences numbered in the thousands. Tokyo Olympics athletes now fighting Olympic regulations limiting social media product endorsement. The internet exposing how the International Olympic Committee allows athletes from different nations a varying number of positive brand comments online, with a broad trend toward athletes seeking more freedom to comment, more rights online, and greater earning power. Join us next time for more highlights. Steve Ross for VOA News, Tokyo.
After more than a year at the front line of the coronavirus, Japanese doctor Soji Yokobori has now been thrust into the oddly calm world of the Olympics, overseeing a venue with strict protocols, no spectators, and low infection risks. Reuters' Libby Hogan reports.
Japanese doctor Soji Yokobori says his days as an emergency medical officer at the Olympics are strangely quiet. He oversaw weightlifting this week, where by Tuesday, he was yet to see a major injury, and so far, no cases of the coronavirus.
Now I feel that so safety here, because we have no COVID inside, and you know that we don't feel the pandemic, just like in a bubble.
Tokyo's Olympics bubble, where more than 80% are vaccinated against the coronavirus, is a sharp contrast to Yokobori's regular life on the outside, running the intensive care unit at Nippon Medical School Hospital in Tokyo. But the world is never far away. He still receives urgent calls from his own hospital staff, asking questions like whether to use lung support for critical COVID-19 cases.
But when we go back to the real world, like in the hospital, and you know that as you see the many patients of COVID-19 is now existing here. So now we are struggling every day. Our team is also. So this also makes us a little exhausted. So heaven and hell.
The doctor is worried about Japan's worsening number of cases, and said he is prepared to leave the Olympic venue permanently to return to the hospital should the virus situation worsen. For Japanese culture that takes pride in exquisite hospitality, the doctor has been forced to provide a lower level of service than he would prefer to prevent cross-contamination between his workplace and the Olympic venues. All in all, Yokobori, a fan of tennis player Naomi Osaka, said he was still proud to contribute to the Olympics.
That was correspondent Libby Hogan. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, Amy Heibels, Chris Casqueo, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman. Please stay safe and enjoy the day ahead.